Blog Talk Radio.
Right now, join T-Mobile and get an unlimited family plan with Netflix included, so you can watch in more places than ever before on your phone, tablet, or TV. Plus, buy one Samsung Galaxy S9 and get one free with 24 monthly bill credits, so you and your family can binge your Netflix favorites on your new phones. Call 1-800-T-Mobile or visit a store today.
Unlimited data on their network, video streams at 480p. Small fraction of customers using over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speeds. If you cancel, balances due. Well-qualified customers, full price, $720 plus tax. Finance agreements required. Netflix with two screens. Terms apply.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And I always say that literally. Those of you getting older will understand exactly what I mean, right? But today I'm so excited to have guests back that were on before that are truly changing the world. We always talk about how, we have such a small planet within our galaxy and what we're doing. And I think day-to-day, it's easy to forget that, day-to-day with our own lives and issues and businesses and raising children and just families or whatever we do. It's easy to forget about what a difference we do make in our environment, in our world. And we can make a difference. And I'm so excited today. The hour is going to fly by to talk about, we hear in the news, climate change. Is it really climate change? Is it global warming? Do we just ignore it and keep doing what we're doing? And, you know, I think about a lot in our life that if we stick with things and we visualize and we do things, and many of you on the call will be listening later are agents and brokers and sellers and buyers and people that know us already. For those that do not know us, you're listening to Realty Universal Radio. We do a combination of real estate, self-help, bringing back changes, because when you're in real estate, we're all living somewhere, right? And we have to take care of everything. So I see so many things in the world, when someone sticks with things, it works. Like the Golden Gate Bridge took 20 years to come to fruition because the gentleman had a vision, and then his son finished it off years later because he passed. Look at electricity. If Thomas Edison didn't have a vision, he had no idea even how he was going to do it. And he wrote down that someday he was going to illuminate this world because he had a vision. When you look at the tenacity of who sticks with things, we can make a difference. We can change this. We can help this world. It's so easy to get sidetracked and throw it out. So our guest today, I am so excited. It gives me the chills because we've done this several times with them. And I've seen so much that they've done just in the past less than a year of me knowing them. So I am thrilled, and I know what they're doing is going to come to fruition. They're collaborating with people around the world. They're making these things happen, and that's why today I'm going to turn over pretty much the whole show to them and just barely talk, actually, which is rare for me. We're going to talk about one of the problems we have is methane, CO2, and acids that are accumulating in our ocean. Our forests have been depleted massive amounts just in 80 years. What can you do to help preserve our precious planet? James B. Fowler and Dr. Joseph Steyer are founders of the Green Sahara Project, and they're on a mission to do just that. James right now is in New Orleans, and Dr. Steyer is in Morocco. Educated with specific goals of science and discovery of cohesion molecular phenomena and resonance frequency studies, they've they've got studied, I'm talking about James right now, studied many of Nikola Tesla's ideas and reproduced his work in the areas of ionic frequency exchange methods. He's also an inventor with two inventions in progress. I'll let them go into all this because I don't want to take up all the time going over these. It's just amazing. They're also slated for patenting sometime in October 2018. Dr. Joseph Steyer is CEO of Sunwo, S-U-N-W-O, Strategical Energy Technology Development and Supply Company, as well as they're both in on the Green Sahara Project. He has a proven track record of selecting valuable and innovative ideas, Autogas, Sumerian, Slick 50, and many more, creating relevant organizational structure and successfully marketing to the breakthrough. So leadership is so important. They have their leadership. We also have another guest on the line, Fonte Abinway. I'm going to let them get into explaining. He's in Cameron right now. I'm so excited and welcome. So without further ado, I would like to welcome you both, three of you, to Real Universal Radio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Me too. Thank you so much, Natalie.
I'm
you
doing
so
very
welcome.
Well, Natalie.
Hey,
I'm doing great,
you're missing this. Awesome. You're missing the hurricanes, aren't you, James, down in New Orleans? I guess you're missing the rain, aren't you? I hope.
Well, it's raining. It's raining.
Okay. It's interesting we have such a small Earth, even though it seems big to some people, and that the weather can do this. So I want to turn this over to you to interject because you've made such progress. I know you're going to fix what's going on. And to start off, if you can tell us, James, just a little bit about what our problem is, and then we're going to open up this conversation. So please, Dr. Steyer and Fonte, just join in. Like we're having our conversation. We don't have to do it like an interview. I'd rather just interchange ideas, and you guys know the format. So that because what we want to do is we want to get this out to as many people as possible. And I think at some point we should have maybe a two-hour show and open it up to calls so people can ask you questions. But for now, I'd like to be able to turn it over to you and get the tidbits in there so that it's just amazing what you've done and what people can do individually.
Well, certainly everything we do now will be impacting all of our futures. How we proceed is vital importance and accuracy. Green Sahara Project product is project for thinking. So what we're doing to understand climate changes and that climate changes are real.
Oh, I want to stop just 1 second. Whoever has a radio on, if you can turn it off because we're getting background noise. Thank you. Go ahead.
That's much better. The changes are real and progress more rapidly than anyone could have ever thought. So it's still getting background noise here.
Is somebody on it? Are you on a speakerphone?
Hello?
Yeah, sometimes a speakerphone will give us the echoes.
Okay.
That's
it's much better now, yeah.
Okay, is that better?
Perfect.
All right, well, changes are progressing more rapidly than anyone could have even imagined. Proof is in the bystanding evidence. And how we deal with the planet core thinking, that's what must change. Leadership in our planetary futures must get the information they need that is going to steer us all in a proper direction that will get an understanding that the people can then get behind that. So the natural systems are beating back, trying to do what they do best, and we've got this comfort zone going with humanity. We're trying to make people comfortable and make life easier. So how do we do this symbiotically? How do we do this together? That's the dream of Green Sahara Project. We found that trees are the stabilizer of our planet, land sinks. Land sink is extremely important. It keeps a stabilized, balanced structure to the cycles Earth goes through. And we're going through cycles, but we're out of balance right now. The cycles of
yep.
the trees they cut down. And go ahead, Joseph. It's a good time.
James, if you permit to complete your explanation, this year Europe suffered a lot. First time in the history we got forest fire in Sweden and also heat shock in Hungary, in my native countries, with 35, 37 degrees, which is horribly warm for Central European people. So it's high time to make action. And what we've founded together with James is that a kind of action group or a kind of concrete program we are fighting for, and a big presentation will take place in the southern part of Morocco in Dakhla on the 26th to 28th of September on the 3rd Sahara Scientist Summit, where the world scientists will support our idea, the Green Sahara idea, and we will present a $620 million worth project, the first quadrat, with which we would like to start to temperate first the local area, 25,000 hectare land, and then later, block by block, extend this project toward the Green Sahara. I think this is the time when we are stepping into action, or we try to step in action, and we call all those who could contribute, who wants to contribute, to participate in the project, which is a vital project, which means that we calculated the income side, and the income side is not only the global win, but also the financial return for the investors. So I think this is unique in the history, because up to now all the projects were based on continuous support from the funds or foundations. Yeah.
Well, may I ask you? Remember before we were talking about, was it palladium trees? Is it palladium trees that can be planted in the desert that actually give you that do well?
Yes, these are the Polonius hybrids selected specially for Morocco and from the Sahara. And the selection aimed to two sites, two extremities, which means that in the night it's freezing time actually in the Sahara. And in the daytime, we can have 50 degrees, 52 degrees. So we've tested it in Morocco, and it has a very good resistance for that extremity.
But, okay, so when James, you were talking on one of the shows about we've depleted, I don't know how much of our forestry over, 80 years, and we're not replenishing it. So it's not giving us the proper, the CO2 levels, the methane, the acids, in the oceans. It's just we don't have the balance. We've depleted too much. And doing this is going to bring it back. And I believe, correct me, I was around 30 or 40 years it could actually be brought back. Could you kind of just tell our audience, who's mostly lay people, not scientists, that would understand all of the chemistry of it, how that works and why this is such a big deal?
Yes, the big deal is Brazil, Asia, they're using the trees, for energy. But the Brazilians are using it forestry to agriculture. So that's a huge implication, because you're not going to put forest back into the mix that you've taken out. You've taken out away oxygen is performed in our atmosphere. It takes and puts oxygen into the atmosphere. I've talked at the LSD conference. This was just the day before yesterday, about what Brazil plans to do. And they haven't said anything accurate about putting these forests back there. So where are we going to put these forests? That's the dilemma, our planetary balance. Where do you put forests back? If they're not going to be in, back into Brazil, which we started pre-industrial 16 square miles. We now have 2.4 million square miles of rainforest left. That's huge.
Wow.
Balance, 3.6 million
yeah.
square miles of lost rainforest. That must be
yeah.
made up. Can we do that?
James.
There, that is,
yeah, right.
Wow.
James.
Yeah.
James,
you mentioned Brazil and you mentioned also Southeast Asia. We will have a Professor Nigne, at the Sahara Summit, at the Third Sahara Summit, who will speak about deforestation of the Mekong Delta, which has a catastrophe in Southeast Asia. So the things are interconnected, and the planetary health, your great idea, is indeed a vital question. I would say that in Africa, we have even a worse scenario. Why? Because the African people has no alternatives to cook their food. And even in Morocco, which is well developed in comparison with other African states, they are in a huge deficit. They are consuming 2 million more cubic meter than the reproduction itself. So this is why
wow.
we need to make a large greening, a self-sufficient project to be able to cover not only the deficit locally, but also globally.
To add more what Dr. Stellan and James B. Fuller said, it's looking at also Cameroon as one of the countries among the Green Sahara Project. You discover too that we have about 3 million cubic cutting down of trees back at home, and to looking at these trees, most of the persons in Cameroon depend on firewood, especially in the indigenous, they depend mostly on firewood as a source of energy. And they don't even know the importance of even the environment, not even talking about the importance of trees, because they are not even aware of what are the importance of these trees and why do they plant these trees. They are at the level of just usage. They are at the level of just usage to be able to provide energy back at their homes. And this is creating a lot of problems. And if you look at even the temperature levels, lots of temperatures are rising. We are at about 29 to 35, which is becoming unusual.
Knowledge is power. I don't understand where, for example, like Brazil, in Asia, is it just because the money is just the name of the game and they're not as concerned, or are they just not knowledgeable about how much is being depleted too as well?
If you permit me, we have to make a differentiation. Brazil, it's fully business with the monocultures of special trees or plantation like soja. Vietnam is another question. It's a type of nutrition, rice production, and also charcoal. What about Fotok was speaking? Charcoal it has become the most important and more valuable combustible in certain parts of the world. This is the greatest problem of Africa, the whole continent, because they don't even let time for the vegetation to regrow. I spent sometimes in Mali, where I was also during my childhood, and now I can see that they cut out already the small plants of 1 meter. They don't let it to come free, because they need to cook their food, and the fossils are otherwise very expensive.
So in Cameroon, you were they aren't they're using it mainly just for firewood and wood, or.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference, and wow, it blows my mind away how that like something so powerful that can be fixed is being ignored. Wow.
Yeah, and the real problem is that at this moment we do not have alternatives. On the other hand, to develop Africa, to develop the continent, we must have energy, electrical one, and also for cooking purpose, I mean heating. So I think with the Green Sahara project, we are tackling all these issues. Because we've never mentioned that Polonia has 27 outcomes. Among them, this is a biomass as the core.
Okay, that's the trees, right? The palladium tree. I'm saying that's the trees, right? Okay,
yeah.
So 27 options, like for the environment and economy. Is that what you mean, or positive?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So we have the trunk. Which is a high quality wood. We have the biomass, which is one third of the total volume. We have honey production and practically we have the big leaves for fertilization, etc. So we collected all this, and 27 outcomes is really a great fortune.
Wow.
Santo, if you would come forward with what you're doing with the children, showing them the way of nature and how that works. It's a very vital part of the social economic pinpoints and marks that we also are looking at. Are you still there, Fonto?
Oh, you know, I think we lost him. I wonder if he's going to call back in. It looks like hopefully he'll call. If you can message him, he can call right back in.
Okay, I'll
try. It looks like it dropped. He probably just dropped it. Call probably dropped. So we can roll back to that. Let me see. Yeah, we'll come back and see if he doesn't come in. If he doesn't come back in, I'll try to call too.
Okay.
So if people want to donate or get involved or read more about it, they would go to greensaharaproject.org?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so it's Green Sahara, Sahara project.org. Okay, we'll try to get him back. The call probably dropped just to the lines.
And already, one of the greatest things that happened that I saw was that, and all of this this talking going on, was that there was a direction beginning to find itself. Everybody's talking about the trees now. Everybody's talking about the biomass. Everybody's talking about the saturation into the oceans that we've been talking about for a couple of years already. We're that far ahead of these ideas. But the solution to the idea, nobody's compromised on any of this. No, that's what we're trying to break down this mountain and show the people that this thinking of this rapid change that is taking place, we can't even keep up it scientifically. We can't.
Wow, Fonto just came back in. He just came back in, and you were asking a question, James. I think, Fonto, when the call dropped, if you want to ask him again to explain about what you were talking about.
All right, Fonto, if you would, explain about the children and what you're doing over there to create the project that is giving the people understanding, the children especially, understanding their futures in nature.
Okay, thank you, James. I'm answering you once more. Sorry for the offline.
No problem. It's just our technology is great, but not perfect.
Okay. So currently working with Dr. Stella and Fuller to develop stewardship principles for kids between 6 to 8 years, wherein we will try to integrate them into their curriculum. We will try to use a visual learning course approach, wherein you permit these students to see what was before, see what caused these changes, and where we are today, and what we need to do for the future. In this curriculum, we'll be trying to use creative arts, dramas, poems, music even for the environment, creative stories on environmental changes that will be able to trigger their minds and able to change their conscious behaviors towards the environment. And with this, if we are able to integrate it into the educational system, it will be much or less sustainable. And in relation to this, to be able to see that this is a sustainable model, we're trying to create back here in Cameroon, a community conservation project wherein we are aimed at planting 25,000 trees. Presently, we have planted just 5,000 trees, and this area is the home for the gods, so it's also a potential for ecotourism. And here we have the community has about 6,500 population with approximately 500 to 600 teenagers. Six years to 8 years. So what we have been doing with them is we have been training with them. We have visited. We have carried out campaigns. We have gone to parks where they'll be able to see for themselves, to be able to appreciate what is nature. Because if we are not able to know what is the environment first and what has happened,
right,
then they will not trigger their minds for them to protect it. Because this is one of the mistakes the baby boomers have done today, they are doing today, and they don't care about the environment because they never had that teaching. It was not a down-top approach wherein they started from the base. So that is why we are trying to put these stewardship principles so that you'll be able to give them that conscious behavior, that conscious mindset that, okay, this is a tree. What is it used for? How can it impact us in the future? And from there, they'll be able to develop the interest to protect the environment.
If you permit to add some comments to Fonto, it's very important, or it's very great he's doing. It's a kind of sensibilization. The population and the most importantly the young people who will actually realize our great vision and regreen not only the Sahara but certainly Cameroon, because Cameroon and the area is also suffering a great damage of deforestation. Mm-hmm. And I think through the young people we can really get an accelerated program which is very much missing in the state education lines.
And this is going to bring about existing changes in natural system thinking. These children will be like PhDs by the time they're 12 years old.
That's
so
amazing.
Think about
it. No, it's wonderful. It's worth it. Great. Hey, well, we're getting
knowing
good for. I have a question. I have a question. I want to chime in. I just want to chime in with technology. Of course, the last 100 years, you know, so much has come to fruition when you look at our time here. And you had mentioned before, James and Dr. Steyer, that the depletion, what was it like in the last 80 years we've depleted, I don't know what the percentage is, but with your plan, we could replenish and maybe save what the CO2 and methane and acids that are accumulating at massive rates that are not sustainable, that we could cure it if 30 or 40 years is your plan? I'm just thinking back.
Yes, we're looking at 100 years plus. I mean, once the once the program is implemented and we're growing these trees and moving into the desert, the microclimate will begin to take over. There will be changes to the desert into agroforestry and food production, and all these things will come after. There will be animals. There's so many things, a holistic management approach. And it must be implemented.
Okay.
But if we don't do it,
what's going to happen in a short period of time? We won't have 100 years, right?
Programming, right. The human imprint programming is against nature. So we need to manage the ability that leadership can understand going forward. Then we just got the effect just to take the CO2, put it where it's supposed to go. The leadership understands that. Then we're on a even, balanced human input direction.
Let me add some specific comments. In our last talk show, naturally, we've been speaking also about, or we spoke about the CO2 fertilization, with which we can absorb 10 times more CO2 than with the conventional trees. So this is a real, real reduction. Possibility. And another thing, the approach of the Green Sahara project is a win-win-win. It's a triple win solution. It's not the conventional win-win solution, which means the local people with the microclimate, James mentioned already, they can win and they can get a rich environment or improve their environment. Next is the regional effect for Africa, and third is the global effect for all of us. And we have to understand something. I'm trying to explain it all the time. It's not the CO2 who is the cause of the problems, but the methane in the air and the other gases. CO2 is a natural fertilizer, and in the human history we got several times a very high content without problems. I'm thinking in a little bit shorter cycles than James. I'm speaking about a 20 years challenge. Why? Because it's true what James has been underlining, that the acceleration of the problems of the climate change is enormous. We can realize year by year how the situation is worsening, and in this we must have complex action and multiply cellule by cellule the solutions. So this is why I think what we are working now in Morocco, the first quadrat, it's a good example to unify all the scientific solutions, all the special requests, and what Fotok said, the sensibilization of local people. For example, we will integrate also the Oasis people to participate, because if parallel to this special artificial quadrat, we could also develop the natural oasis, then the whole program can be dynamized. And that's what I'm thinking.
Can I ask anybody, whoever is not speaking, can you put your phone on mute temporarily? We're just getting some large background noise, and we're recording, so we just want to make sure it's real clear. I appreciate it. Then you
Joseph,
can just take it off mute when you would speak.
Have they figured the CO2 at 8 year, how much CO2 would be uptake in gigatons? Have you figured that yet?
Well, I did several calculations, and this is why I'm saying that practically one third the greening of the Sahara could practically eliminate the surplus, which is worsening the situation.
Yes, and I would like to add, because we are, even though we are trying to sensitize about the Green Sahara project, we are also talking to the audience, so they should be able to understand what is really happening. I would like them to reflect on what one of the legends, Kofi Annan of blessed memory, he tried to make us understand that when we are about, like for instance, when we are about to take a boat to sail through, in this boat there are lots of tickets, there are lots of classes, the high class, the low class, and every class. But when this boat is in water and the storm is coming, everybody is involved. It's not like you bought the first class or the second class. And if people are not able to start acting locally and thinking globally, we will not be able to impact this change. Because yes, Dr. Stella and Mr. James Fuller, we are all doing great work, but we need the audience, we need these people to be able to reason with us, to be able to understand this change, because it's actually going, even if it's not impacting us now, the future generation, what will we leave when
they're,
we are gone?
Children.
So they children.
Great-grandchildren.
What are they going to live on? How would they be able to? What are the resources? How would they be able to be able to take care of these resources? So I would like the audience to be able to take this as a food of church, because it's really real. And to add to what Dr. Sarah said, if back in Cameroon we had Lake Chad, which was about 25,000 cubic square kilometers, now it's 25,000 square kilometers, and that was one of the highest lakes.
That gave livelihood
to everyone around that area. And if you look at within the space of time, there is no more water there. How would these people improve their livelihoods? So it's time for us to stand up and say change. As Obama says, yes, we can. Yes, really, we can.
Amen. I think, you know, God, the universe, this world's created so miraculously that naturally knows how to handle the changes. We as humans going in and having greed, or maybe just lack of knowledge, are depleting it. And it's wonderful to hear how you all are showing the world this is how naturally we can still recoup this before we destroy it, you know. And it's just amazing. I think when people are listening and they're thinking about their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, some people need to realize, like, the extra methane and the junk getting into our oceans and hurting the fish, getting into the food supply, hurting the ground, that is probably a good reason why we're seeing so many more mutations, so much more cancer, so many more disabling conditions because of what we're doing to our planet. And if we can work together in unity, I think that's where it starts, you know. And with you guys who are so brilliant to push and keep pushing, and I really believe it's gonna happen, because you all have kept the vision and keep going. But I just want to throw a couple layman things, and I do that just for our audience. I have James. So many people talk about global warming, but technically we're still in an ice age coming out of it, right? And so a lot of these storms and all these things happening, they would be happening naturally whether we were doing these wrong things or not, correct? But we're making it much worse. Can you just kind of explain a little bit? Because you hear so many people, we think we know it and we don't know it. You know, when people are just listening to somebody else and they haven't investigated. And so the difference between, like, global warming versus we are technically in an ice age coming out of it, right? And I'm just kind of want to just throw a couple little points out there.
A 10,000-year cycle, as according to the cores, ice cores around the world, that Antarctica and Greenland and some up there, North Alaska, there have shown we should actually be in an ice age, a moderate ice age right now. But we have heat. So what's causing what's producing this? The imbalance.
Okay.
When I talked about earlier, the imbalance in the tree sink has gone on for so long, the Earth is now making its move to make a balance structure to what we've done in an input The previous reality we understood was knowing approaches to keep a comfort zone for the people. The common denominator in the mix is the logical reverse of the theory of forest agriculture.
Okay.
That forest agriculture theory is non-sustainable. So we understand this now. Now the people need to understand it. This is the change that we have to make happen. This is the existing changes in natural systems are going to make us do this because it's happening rapidly. So leaders and all these people around the world are beginning to understand the importance and the accuracy that Green Sahara is going to bring, that accuracy. It's called putting trees into the desert, putting a stabilizing effect into our planet. Is it big enough? We don't even know if it's big enough. We don't have the science on that yet. So we're strapped there. But we know the biomass is missing, and we all agree on that. So we go forward from there. And this is what Dr. Steyer is doing, his brilliant work with the CO2 into the ground of the root system of what we're growing. So we're using holistic amount of this CO2 going into the ground again. This is a very important point, going back into the ground where it belongs.
You pick the trees that can replenish and replenish easily, right? That do so many more.
Please permit to me to add some things encore to James' explanation. Can you imagine that the volcano activity is accelerating, like near Iceland or in the Southeast Asia? We have plenty of volcano creating dust cloud and just covering the sun. In this case, if you haven't got a big forested area to consume, to convert this dust and also the CO2, you can face very soon the ice age, perhaps faster than previously, but this is a very, very serious situation.
Well. I'm just jumping with some of my questions I wanted to put in. How is coal still a good thing to have? Because I know a lot of people have different feelings about coal. And you had mentioned before, Dr. Steyer, when we discussed this way back, that coal is good to keep and use.
Absolutely, absolutely. In our first talk, naturally, we've discussed that I was applauded President Trump for his decision supporting the American coal miner. Why? Because first, they are producers of the CO2, which is a vital question in the fertilization issue, but of course in a centralized form. I don't want to contaminate the area itself, but use the CO2 as a fertilizer. This is number one. Number two, with James, we've been working on another question, how to use coal in the Sahara Desert. This is also a must, the must to enrich the soil and complete the structure itself, facilitating the vegetation, etc., etc. So coal has different advantages. What we have to underline and use in our programs.
Natalie,
it's amazing how knowledge is power. It just is.
Yep.
Geetha said she can hear us, but she cannot talk.
I don't see another number in. Can she call right back and we can put her in immediately?
Okay,
there was a call that came in from a 919 number and it dropped. So if she calls right back, we can put her in.
Yep,
I can see that on the
number.
Studio back. Yep, that's great. If she calls right back, I'll put her in immediately. Perfect. I'm glad she got to call in.
I've been trying to get her, you know, but I, yeah, she said
we all have
a little
such crazy schedules.
She asked if
while we are waiting for Geta, please allow me to speak about a very interesting thing at the third Sahara Scientist Forum. We will have an Indian scientist who will show the laser rain, artificial rain initiation. This is a wonderful question because when we are speaking about forestation of the Sahara Desert, the conventional question is, and where is the rain? How can you get the rain? And we have nuclear scientists with us to make the cloud saturation, and now we have an Indian scientist with the laser solution to program the rain at the right place. So technically, I can imagine that it will be possible to use this artificial rain on the 25,000 hectare first quadrat and not let the clouds to go over the empty desert itself. But later, of course, when we will have... Yeah?
You know what? We have like 14 minutes left, which I hope she can call it because we need to do a two-hour show one time. Well, just as from a holistic approach, is it okay to manipulate the clouds?
I think in our approach is a must because as we discussed last time, Morocco and the whole African continent has already exhausted the fossil stock, which means that down to 300 meters you can't get water for irrigation or for human use. So this is a must and no alternatives. Otherwise, we really make a disaster, a local disaster.
Okay.
And then you have condensation machines from Canada that we're looking at. There's lots of technology that's coming in, and I believe it will absolutely bring us into a new level. Getting the water resource, how do we do? There's many methods. Many drilling down is expensive, you know, deeper wells, all those things. So we.
What about bringing it from
Antarctica?
What about bringing it in?
Transaqua.
Okay.
Yeah.
Transaqua.
We're certainly looking at it. It's expensive also to get the pipeline laid. So we're working.
That makes sense.
We're working on areas that can we bring the cost down? See, so but we want to do the practical thing first, and that's Transaqua is the practical. It's a course of action that gets water to Lake Chad from the Congo Basin. Congo Basin produces billions of gallons of water, billions of tons of water goes right out to the Atlantic Ocean. So we want to use that.
Okay, so with a pipeline, you could grab it.
Canal. Canal, right to the lake. You can recoup. It's down to 5,000 hectare now. It was 25,000 hectare maybe 10, 15 years ago. So the lake is not replenishing. There's serious problems there with agriculture. People are moving. All of these implications are, so we're going to be solving huge amounts of implications.
Wow.
Dr. Steyer just touched on some of that implication. But we're done talking. We know the implications are coming. We know all these things. What our program is going to do is establish a means of a solution for our planetary woes. The imbalances will be corrected. It's going to take time to do it. Dr. Steyer, I believe, put an 8-year to growing of the first quadrat trees and getting all that set up. So when will we actually see a return? Maybe 10 years. But that's one of these quick turnarounds. This is one of the
things
that are
required. No, but the $620 million, is that the money needed? Oh, the $620 million, is that the money needed to get this part going now? Or
yes.
$620 million, is that what
And this is just enough, Natalie, because actually the world is spending much more on the Great Green Wall Initiative. They are spending $6 billion in the next, I think, 3-5 years. We've created a special budget, which is a self-sustainable budget, and we will have already some incomes after the first year, using the tree leaves and other advantages, special symbiotic culture I've been speaking about, and a lot of other things. So finally, we've found out that a 3% return, I mean interest rate on this investment is the minimum we can achieve. And once we have the project completed, as James said, the first 8 years, we can duplicate in different senses, just going towards the Lake Chad. There is plenty of possibilities, and I think when we are introducing the new technologies like the laser, or the nuclear heat, the waste heat, it will speed up the solution, really.
Right, that's great. That's just the money, though. It would be so fantastic if everybody got involved and just pitched in a little, even $10. Even that sounds like, if many people did all over, if the governments got involved and gave tax credits maybe to investors. I'm not sure how that works with this type of project, but if there's funding and grants that can be done where, you know, if people put in, the government's willing to give tax credits.
Natalie, permit me to play with a very simple idea. If only 620 million people could donate just $1, the project is
wow.
On.
Yeah.
Do they go to
the GreenSaharaProject.org to do that, or it'll tell them where to go, right? How to do this?
Well, I think. Yep. Please go ahead.
I have campaigns running right now, and also a donation for site visiting. It has a donation key, subscribe key also. But the campaigns that I've put out with Indiegogo about forest loss and replenishment of forest, it hasn't caught on to the public. The public are not really understanding how serious
right.
our reality are coming
right.
to fruition. Our realities are going to, infectious diseases, born diseases. There's mental health things going on with people having been displaced around the world. Mental health symptoms, you know, post-traumatic stress. That happened in Texas. I mean, right here in my backyard.
How is that related to this? But how's that this related to? How's post-traumatic stress related to the environment?
Well, your house gets destroyed from flooding. What are you going to
okay.
do? Oh, yay, that was real nice. Now, I'm not thinking, you know, that's very nice, but...
No, I get it. I totally get it. That's why I'm asking the question, seeing which, because it's usually you think of... So anything traumatic that's starred can do that, and it's just... I think of diseases and illnesses and cancers and the mutations and things that just seem so unnatural because... Our Earth is kind of regurgitating itself, right? It doesn't know how to respond to this stuff that we're destroying. Yeah.
Fertilizers have to change in the future. That's the next step. That's a key component to our future as a species
Ooh.
On this planet.
Ooh, I'm just throwing it out. I can see. I'm trying not to jump in with all my questions because you know me. I'll ask 100, and we have no time on there. But Dr. Steyer, you actually created a fertilizer. You were invented where you could use CO2 as a fertilizer. Is that like just totally? That must be totally safe because knowing you, you wouldn't have created anything that's not safe. Is that?
Natalie, it's absolutely safe, and it was approved and recognized as a special invention during the COP22 in Marrakesh in 2016. Because we are not injecting CO2 in air itself, but in the crowns, and what is not used directly by the aspiration of the trees, we are using it with the symbiotic culture.
Sell it? I mean, can you? Is it patented where people can buy it in the U.S. and use it?
I beg your pardon?
Can people buy it and use it as a fertilizer?
Not yet. It is an absolute new way, and that's what we've been speaking about. It's a paradigm change because up to now, nobody considers itself some small farmers, but nobody else considers as a huge scale or large scale solution. But it will come.
Fantastic.
Yep, it will come. It's all logical thinking and logical beginnings. Stages are always the hardest to perfect.
Exactly.
The stages.
Exactly.
And deserts are growing. The oceans are becoming more acidic. The fertilizers are creating dead zones in our oceans. This year, there was a nonchalant little message in our newspaper said, by the way, our dead zone this year is 8,000 square miles. And I'm like, I just sat down and I'm like, they say it so nonchalantly, like it's that doesn't matter.
Wow.
We should be doing, this should be not even happening. Am I in reality here? And they're talking about it this way. So that's the thing we have to emphasize going forward as natural systems are breaking down more rapidly. Our existing changes to keep up are not going to be able to do it. But Green Sahara will be a great key point on the level of social change and economic change venues. We don't have to change our economics to make this all work. We have to get the doubt out. That's what we have to do. There's no doubt whatsoever in anybody's mind when I was at the conference over in San Francisco, that the biomass is missing. We all know this. So we're on the same page on that one. Thank the Lord for that, you know, because that is one of the hugest steps to get a focus point. Now we have
Please permit me to say something, to add something to James' approach. From the very first moment we've been working together on this great idea of Green Sahara, we accepted a special approach, and this is the progressive climate mitigation. So in all senses, we are searching progressive solution. We do not want to cut things or ban things, but we would like to turn it into profit for the nature, and more precisely, we would like to concentrate, to focus on the nature. I mean, natural forces are our friends in case we could program them, and if we could use their energy in a good sense. And progressive climate mitigation in the Green Sahara project, that's something also brand new, like the win-win-win solution.
Boy, we could go on for 2 hours. We have to get you back and open it up for questions, but we're going to put this out as far. It amazes me. And then it gets into this thing and this thing. And we only have like 1 minute left. That's the only thing I don't like about this. We're getting ready to sign off. And I want to say this is Realty Universal Radio. This is Natalie Mullinex. We've been listening to Dr. James Steyer, James B. Fuller, scientist and Fonte Abinwi. And for more information on this, you know you can always come to us at realtyuniversal.com. We'll forward all the information. You can also go to greensaharaproject.org and get tons of information, donate, educate. Remember, knowledge is power. And we guys have one more minute. I'm so sorry. I hate to cut off like
okay.
that.
Okay.
So you want to say something in 1 minute?
I want to.
Okay.
Introduce Geeta Plakal. She's from India. She just got her PhD. We will have her on next time, maybe next week.
Wonderful.
We'll